Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
Welcome to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. And Niels and I have a very special guest, Brandon Cox. And so, Brandon, thank you so much for joining us and being part of the show. I know you've been on the show in the past, but thanks again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the show.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to having some fun.
Yeah. And Brandon, your world, you're a part of some really fun stuff. You planted the church, planted a church, you know, in the last couple of years. You're part mm-hmm. of pastors.com, which is Rick Warren's global pastor community. And you have a family and a life, and you've written a book. My question is, when do you sleep?
I think if you outsource your sleep, you can get a lot more done.
That's very true. That's true. I hadn't thought about using a VA in that way. I need to think.
Yeah, it's a good service.
So for, you know, for those listening, pastors.com is a global resource. It's something that, Rick Warren, is part of, and you are the, you know, the leader of that in managing the online community. So tell our listeners a little bit about pastors.com, and then I got some practical questions I want to get into.
Sure. I think pastors.com has been around probably around 15 years or so. Pastor Rick bought the domain years ago with a vision to gather pastors online for resources and learning and that sort of thing. It's transitioned a lot over the years. It sort of tried to become kind of a social network for pastors. Back when Facebook even was still kind of small, didn't work out so well for a lot of reasons. And then I came on board maybe 5.5 years ago to sort of relaunch it according to the initial vision of resourcing pastors and helping pastors and connecting them to each other. So there's a purpose-driven flavor to it, but it's also general in that we want to help everybody. So. But it's just a lot of how-to stuff and a lot of encouragement and just figuring out where pastors hurt and how we can help heal. So.
Well, that was the kind of the cool thing about how we met was I was starting off at Saddleback at that time. I was just coming off an internship and I was serving on the communications team. And I just remember you like, you know, this guy came in that people were talking about and you were like in this office over in the corner and you were managing pastors.com. And I was like, who's that guy? And I think you were in the process of writing your book or something. I knew a little bit. I'm forgetting all the details, but I just remember that's how we first met. And I was actually reporting at the time to, I think at the time, who you were reporting to. And it was just kind of it's a funny connection. And then you were here and then you went off and planted a church, but you're still part of, you know, pastors.com. So we kind of have that connection. I mean, I was a nobody then and I'm still a nobody now, but, so it was just like, I was just thinking about that. I didn't realize that our paths, like we both kind of started at Saddleback at a similar time, you know, and started at different directions, but, which is cool. You know, I don't know. Is there anything about me at that time that you remember? Like I was like, I talked a lot. Was there something you want to share to our list?
Yeah. I love hearing Jay stories. So just bring out the baby Jay stories.
I remember seeing you and just thinking, man, Saddleback is really good at hiring people. This guy has to be a genius. And, you know, it's been proven right. You just have done amazing things there.
Did you wonder if they're violating legal laws of hiring a 14-year-old at the time? Because Jay, I mean, this you was know, years ago, and Jay looks about 15 now.
Yeah. The one controversy really is that Jay was one of the first guys I hung around who at the time pulled off wearing skinny jeans. And I never could. No one would want to see me in skinny jeans. So
that's very true. Well, so with pastors.com, what I love about pastors.com is that you guys have consistent resources for church leaders, pastors, obviously specifically about leveraging all sorts of things. It's care, but it's also resources. I mean, you guys kind of cover everything. So for people listening, what are just some social media like tips that you would tell people? You know, especially let's zero in on the church plant. So you've planted a church in the last couple of years. What are some things for church planners or people who are part of churches that they should just be aware of with social media. Why is that even important with somebody getting a church going?
Well, you know, for us, what was kind of unique is if you look at the, at least the American formula for church planning, you know, the goal is raise $250,000, mail out a bunch of stuff, and boom, you've got an instant big church. And it doesn't always work that way. We didn't anticipate that working for us, and we didn't have $250,000, so we just decided we're going to use Facebook. So we hit the ground, and in the last 3 years, we've never run an ad. We've run Facebook ads. We've never run a newspaper ad. We've never done direct mail. We haven't used any traditional media or traditional advertising at all, strictly social media and online online techniques, and that has brought us 80% of the people who come have come really as a result of Facebook and Google, mostly Facebook. So it's been huge for us. And I think that one tip I would throw out there, one thing to remember for any local church practitioner using social media is it's not enough to just understand that there's this technology and it helps you spread the message. I think you also have to understand that there are cultural principles and shifts behind the technology. There's a reason why Facebook is well used. And if you don't understand why it matters, then you may miss something. You may get your message out, but you're failing to be relational, failing to be authentic, failing to be open. So I think it's a matter of understanding, yeah, there's these tools and I can follow 10 steps and get it done, but I also need to know why it works, and just be social, be relational. And I think that's where a lot of church leaders kind of miss it, is seeing the sort of the principle behind the tool.
Brandon, I'm with you on understanding the value, and what I think the misperception of the pastors is that social media is a waste of time. And you're a guy who doesn't have a lack of things to keep you busy. You know, you're not only planning a church, but you're, you know, running so many other things. And so you wouldn't just jump on Facebook or social media if you thought it was a waste of time. How do you justify that value to a pastor? And then two, how do you manage your time effectively? Because you don't have a lot of time, but obviously it's valuable enough for you to invest your time in it.
Yeah. I think a couple things. One is, I think social media is one of those things that you do as you go. You just sort of involve your life in it. I don't ever set aside, okay, I'm going to spend 2 hours today on social media. I've never done anything like that. Instead, it's just, what's going on right now? What am I talking about with other leaders? What is our staff talking about? What am I talking about with church members? And those are the things that wind up being posted on social media. So it's not extra time. It's just taking what I'm already doing and kind of integrating it with social media. So that's a big part. And to answer the bigger question of, is it really worth my time? Is it valuable for my time? I would just say that I'm an introvert, and I know that based on the Great Commission, I'm supposed to go and make disciples and reach lost people and all that. But the idea of busting into a coffee shop and going, my name's Brandon, I'm here to win some people to Jesus, it just scares the pants off of me. But social media has kind of opened the door to be in the marketplace, in the third place, in the social sphere, and interact with people in a way that I'm actually comfortable with and confident about. So I think it's just a matter of saying, if I want to go to a mission field, this is it. So that's my justification for it, is the Great Commission.
Yeah. And I love hearing, because I'm just thinking about the timing of when you started your church. You had to be like the first church plant to use Facebook ads. Like, just thinking about, I also think about, I mean, no, I know a little bit about Brandon. I know the process that even Saddleback went through with, you know, being, we're very particular on how we manage our website and so forth. And I remember we were in transition of going to WordPress on some of the items. And there was a little bit of a struggle of figuring out what to do and is that wise. And I say that because I know, Brandon, your church and your personal blog, I mean, your church has probably one of the best church plant websites out there. I mean, obviously you're not a plant size anymore. You're bigger than that, but just you have so much, you know, technical skill on top of a pastoral skill. So you're very unique in that way. So with that question, with that little discussion there, I was curious, somebody who's planning a church, would you tell them to go on WordPress, or would you now tell them to go to like a Squarespace?
You know, I tell churches both, actually. I think it depends on who you've got on your team and what they're good at. For me, I'd been on the side as kind of a hobby. I'd been doing church, designing church websites since the days of Macromedia Dreamweaver 4, something like that. So WordPress was still very young when I got into it. And so I was able, when they would make changes and add new features, I was already caught up and was able to do some development and whatnot. So if you've got somebody on your team that's really into that and they understand it, I would consider strongly going with WordPress because of the agility, the ability to make it your own and customize it and add new things to it. But if that's not an area of expertise that's part of your planting team, I still feel very confident in platforms like Ecclesia 360 or Church Plant Media. There's several out there that do a good job. And for smaller churches that maybe they're existing churches and they really struggle in this area, I have been pushing several to Squarespace. I think it's still a good option because it's so easy to manage. And at the end of the day, I think your church website ultimately is still about saying, here's what we believe, when we meet, where we meet, and everything else is a bonus. So
yeah. Squarespace. Well, and with that, I want to pause real quick, and I want to recognize just Brandon's book, Rewired. We're going to have direct links to his resource. It's an amazing resource for everyone listening. To tell us a little bit about if they were to go out to purchase Rewired, your book, what would they get in that?
Well, one of the questions that usually comes is it going to tell me how to run a Facebook ad and that kind of thing? And no, it's not. And the reason why is just the way the publishing industry works. By the time the thing gets published, everything has changed. So the book is in three parts. First part is kind of the theology. I believe that social media was God's idea. He made us for relationships, and we lost that in the fall. And so social media is just kind of part of restoring our ability to relate to other people. Then the second part of the book is some principles about, if you're going to jump into this, here's how you should be. Be more social, be more relational, be authentic. So it's kind of the values that underlie the techniques. And then the last part is some more specific tips about, you know, kind of how to use images, how to use video. But I still don't get into step 1, 2, 3 because, again, it's all different by the time the book comes.
Of course. And for everyone listening, you can go to brandonacox.com/rewired. And Brandon is one of the best at just gathering content, writing that consistent. I mean, you like are, you know, literally like one of the best in the business at this. And so visit his blog, check, please buy his book. It's an amazing resource. So I definitely wanted to highlight for our listeners to check that out. So with that, I was curious, Brandon, with Facebook ads and social media sites, with now, you know, having years now under your belt, planting a church, being in this process, how would you advise somebody getting going, either a church who's not online yet or doesn't have a presence, or a church plant thinking about doing to starting a church? Would you tell them still to start with Facebook with a social presence, or would you say start with a website or do everything? Where would you go with that conversation?
Well, I know there will be some debate among, you know, people who know their stuff. As a practitioner, I would say that our greatest source of relational, you know, bridges for the gospel's sake have come because of Facebook. So if I had to choose something, I would start with a Facebook page, but I would not just start with the page, but make sure that, you know, my staff and leadership and the people in my church knew that it was something to be interacted with. So I would start with that Facebook page, and I would use it to communicate as much as possible, even before having a website or any other particular social network.
And with Facebook, I was curious, are you guys at a place right now with Grace Hills? Are you guys sending like a weekly email and then doing daily posts? I mean, what does the day-to-day life look like for a church like you that has, you know, somebody who's talented in this area? Like, are you doing those things consistently? What is your primary communication vehicle? Or are you at a place that you're using kind of the shotgun? You're able to do a lot of different, you know, avenues at once.
Well, I would say that I'm a firm believer that different people receive information different ways. So we still use email. I think email is underrated because for the people who use it, it is the most social way to reach them. So we use MailChimp to send a weekly newsletter, but we duplicate a lot of that information. So whatever we put into that newsletter, we post to the Facebook page the same. Sometimes we'll also create a blog post on our website about it, but we don't use the kind of the blogging feature of our website much because it doesn't generate a lot of traffic on our own, on its own. And what we found is if I've got three paragraphs to share about something, I'd rather put all three paragraphs into a Facebook post than one paragraph and a link because I want it to travel further and that's my goal. So website traffic is not my goal at all. The message going forward is my goal. So Facebook is kind of like the big piece. Email is here and website's kind of down here, if that makes sense.
And that totally makes sense. And, you know, that's something that Nils and I talk about because a lot of times we get asked that, you know, what are some channels you should start off on? And there's no doubt email is not dead. I mean, it's something that, you know, and you know, as an online pastor, part of Saddleback Church, you would think some of these other channels are huge or bigger, but email, my weekly email, I send them to my community. I don't know if you can call it a campus, but to my community, it's very much, you know, it's the one thing, you know, I'm more worried about that open rate, of that email than I am worried about anything else. Cause it's where I can get a direct connection and they can personally send back. So email's definitely, I love hearing that. So, to honor your time, and we're coming to the end, Nils, is there anything else that, you know, we should be asking Brandon before we go?
You know, I'm curious about, and because you're so strategic, and I've loved watching, you know, your path of launching the church and then social media being a central core of that. How has your strategy developed? And so we talked about Facebook, and you shared that you currently run Facebook ads. Are you running other types of ads? Is it collective, or are you really focused in on Facebook ads, and are you driving them to your website? Are you doing promoted posts? How are you utilizing that ad network to reach more people?
Sure. Facebook ads are the primary. We have tried Twitter. We've tried Google, and I see value in them, but I think Facebook matches who our church is a little better. So now we just do 100% of our ad money on Facebook. And our approach is, first, we have an ad that kind of runs all the time. The goal of it is to get more local, real likes. We don't want fake people. We don't want likes necessarily from elsewhere. I mean, it's fine if someone elsewhere likes us, but local people are more likely to interact. So we run one ad all the time. We change the image, we change the text, but the ad runs constant to build up the number of people locally who like us. The reason why is because that provides the pool of people to whom we can advertise in other ways. So the second layer is every week we do a sponsored post that usually promotes what's coming up on the weekend. And then sometimes we will sponsor a particular event, but mostly it's the upcoming weekend sermon or the new series that we're starting or something like that. And we'll run that one for 3 to 4 days. And we'll spend a little bit more on it and we'll target a little more specifically. But we always target those ads to people who, number one, do not like us yet. Number two, whose friends do like us, so that there is some relational connection and we're not wasting money on people who are going to see it anyways. So those are kind of our two layers. And then every once in a while, we'll throw a bonus in of advertising a special event. We just this morning did one for a ladies conference and that ad just went live. So that's kind of our strategy, I guess.
I love that. That was super practical. I know a lot of people are writing down what you just said. And so Brandon, I want to thank you for being on the Social Media Church podcast. Visit pastors.com to be part of that community. So many amazing resources. Sign up for their newsletter to be part of that. And also visit Brandon's website, brandonacox.com. Buy his book. If you visit his website, there's direct links up there. And I just want to thank you, Brandon, for being part of this conversation. I know there's a lot of people that are walking away with some very practical tips. And so with that, visit socialmedia.church. Visit our show notes to get direct links to everything we've talked about in the show. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.